Kelly, it's a Tuesday.
Yep.
What does that mean?
It means it's Teaching Tuesday. That means it must be time for the Biblical Worldview Question of the Week with Nancy Fitzgerald from Anchors Away. Looking forward to it.
Don't call me Shirley.
Why would I call you Shirley when I have so many other things I could call you that are so much more satisfying?
Well, we have the mediator with us, so we can bring all of our problems and troubles before Nancy, and she will rule justly for us. Hey, good morning to you, Nancy. How you doing?
Good morning, and you're cheery today. That's fun, Kelly, in spite of Steve.
Oh,
that's amazing.
Whoa.
Oh, there's just so much entertainment provided on a daily basis. What can I say?
Yeah.
I know. I love it.
Well, we've got a pretty good question here that I really like this, because when we think of worship, often we immediately just turn to the corporate body of worship and standing amidst other people in church. And whether you are in a modern worship service and you've got smoke machines and lights and, you know, 1,000 watts, or if you are in a smaller church and maybe it's just, it's hymns, right? Maybe it's hymns, or maybe where do you worship alone? Where do we see the beauty that God is giving us and we give thanks and we worship Him? There's a lot of different things that the word worship really evokes in us. So the importance of this question, Nancy, is how does God want us to worship Him if this is what we've been made for?
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think we've diminished the word worship to just a little sliver of what it is, you know. The question is, what is Christian worship? And is it confined to a church and or a pew, you know, on Sundays? So I think, though, many would answer this question the same way they describe how they came to faith in Jesus. You know, it's more like, well, I grew up with it, or it's just what I do on Sundays. And for most, that would pretty much be it. Worship for others might mean singing songs and listening to a message, you know, sharing in communion, and that's it. But true Christian worship, though, and this is what's so important, Steve, is that it's so much more than singing songs and doing Bible studies. It's not entertainment, talking about your smoke and mirrors and all that stuff. It is not entertainment or how it makes us feel or not feel. This is the thing. And I think so many people that I hear say, oh, we had a great worship this morning. The songs were great. Makes me feel so good. That's really not what it's about. It seems like every question we have to remind everybody, including especially with me and with us, this is not about us. You know, it's not a spectator sport.
Yeah.
It's just not about us, other than us humbling ourselves to the Almighty God that pushes us to live out our lives to His glory for His purposes and not our own. And as you said earlier, Steve, we're made to worship God. That's what we're made for. And Psalms 31 says this: so whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. And that's what this is about. Worship is coming together and not only singing songs and this, but it is living our lives from morning to evening with bent toward others, a bent toward God. And this is why Psalm 100 fits so well with this. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness all generations. You know, I dare anybody to read this in the morning and then be grumpy. You know, it's just such a great reminder of every day we are to give Thanksgiving, no matter how insane it was for you. Trust me, I've been having some of those days. But it's just this idea. Let's live with the attitude of Thanksgiving and really being grateful for what we have. It just is so wonderful to be talking about worship this way, where we are creatures that can worship. God allowed us to have the ability to worship Him. I'm grateful for that, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah. And you mentioned, Nancy, this term. You said it twice. True Christian worship. And take us back into Scripture again and tell us where we find what it means in Scripture to truly worship God.
Yes. And I just think Romans 12, 1 and 2, if you really want to go to the place that it's so right there, it says, I urge you, therefore, brethren, mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. There it is right now. So our job is to present our bodies and as a holy sacrifice acceptable to God, you know. And then it goes on to say, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is. There you go. That which is good, acceptable, or well-pleasing and perfect. And that is what this is all about. We have lots of choices to make, and we can choose by God's mercies to worship God in the way that we live.
Well, Nancy, when I think about, you know, myself and how, you know, corrupt and broken and fallible that I am, it makes me wonder, well, how then can I even worship God properly and appropriately? What do I do in that situation?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think so much of it is in our own strength. I think we all fight that. Worship done in a godly fashion, not by our strength, but by God's mercy on us. And it's this idea of God's mercy that we need to take a good look at. What does that word mercy mean? By God's mercy, we can worship. Jonathan Edwards wrote this about mercy. He said, God is pleased to show mercy to his enemies according to his sovereign pleasure. Though he is infinitely above all and stands in no need of creatures, he is graciously pleased to take merciful note of poor worms in the dust. And I love that. This is the idea that God does not need us, but he loves us. And God demonstrates his mercy in the forgiveness of sins to all who believe. And when we are forgiven, that's the gate that opens. You know, no human deserves such love that he offers us. You know, he owes us nothing. But his mercies include not only the forgiveness of sin, but then we can receive and we can love others and we can experience peace and joy and strength. You know, he is there. He tells us in James, look, I want to give you wisdom. Come to me. I will give you wisdom and hope and patience. I will be there with you. I will never leave you. You know, the security that he gives us, the freedom and the grace and so much more. That list goes on and on. In understanding the depths of God's mercy and the gifts that he gives us should motivate us to live out our lives, even on the hard, hard days. Praising God and thanking God for his outrageousness, you know, in the way he provides and loves, and the lives of those refusing God's mercy on the other end of this of the balance here is disaster. So we're talking about massive mercy, even to the worst of the worst sinners, and those who refuse to believe, to trust, to accept, their lives are disastrous and their future is disastrous.
Well, Nancy, I got to ask you this question too, because I know when it comes to worship, God is number one. We are to put him first in our lives, period, end of subject. But if we will be truthful with ourselves, we are very, very self-centered, and we want to be number one. If we'll admit it, we want to be number one in our own lives. So how do we overcome our own sinful desires to put God first and not second?
Yes, you're right. And we all have that human sinful self nature that really we come first, and we cut out time for God, maybe by reading a scripture or two, but our flesh is so strong in us that we live by a me first, God second mentality. And I'm telling you, I fight it all the time, and we all do. Let's be honest. And those of you that think they're giant Christians out there that never struggle, oh, trust me, they're probably the worst because they get prideful. You know what I mean? But Paul says for us to turn away from self to God. Listen to what he says here, by renewing your mind. And again, this pushes us toward total dependence on God. This is what this is about. It's not throwing a prayer up. It's getting the mindset of God every morning and every evening and during the day that says, Lord, this is for your glory, not mine. And renewing our mind that pushes us toward the goal of dependence on God. Daily, we need to turn away from selfish pleasure, you know, and choose to live as Jesus would have us live. Seeking God's wisdom is a huge part of worshiping God. You know, the praying and reading God's word for answers and directions, yes, clearly. And seeking God's wisdom from other Christians is so important, too, is worship that pleases God. But this idea of choosing this day, Kelly, and I, you know, it's not easy. Choosing this day, I'm going to live for something else. And God brings to me troublesome people. You know, we all have awkward people. Mostly we're the awkward ones, but to pray for those in our life, those hurting people, those people who hurt other, to truly pray for them, for their salvation, you know, for the hope they have. Pray that God would bless them. And I think 1 Corinthians 2:12 here says this, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God, which are the mercies, you know. And we impart in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. And then he goes on to say, for who has understood the mind of the Lord so much as to instruct to him? But we have the mind of Christ. And this is the whole thing. We need to fall before the feet of God and get our directions from him, you know, through the Holy Spirit as we ask him to guide us through the way. God wants us the best for us. And this is how he has chosen for us to have it.
This is something, Nancy, that when I think about this, you know, I almost had that very scripture today as our scripture of the day today. And I just found it just so ironic that you brought that up, because it is, you know, for those who've understood the mind of the Lord as to instruct him, right? We have the mind of Christ. This is what we've all been created for. This is what leads us into conformity, to be made in the image of God. And part of that is worship. And so we just have about 2 minutes left here, but is there a wrong way for us then to try to worship God? Because we see this all throughout the Bible. People choose bad things and they think that they're good things. So is there a wrong way to try to worship God?
Well, yes. And I think that's just a great question, because this generation, the vast majority of people believe there's no truth. And they try to worship God out of their own experiential understanding of truth. And Jesus, as you know, said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And they say, well, no, we'll tap into that, but we don't really believe it. And this is the wrong way to worship God. You know, you can't hold back with God. To know the one true God and the truth that comes from the scripture is how God designed us to worship him, by living it out. And when the heart and attitude of the person are focused on God for his glory alone, we worship God in a way that honors him, not ourselves. You know, worship is reserved for God alone. And as we love and obedience with God through the Holy Spirit alone, we fulfill God's purpose for our life. That is our purpose. And worship is reserved only, you know, for him. And I say that over and over and over again. Only he is worthy and no one else, or nothing else, including golf clubs, you know. I mean, what is it in our lives that's keeping us from worshiping him and not something that we do or who we think we are? We should not be worshiping for the expectation of something in return. And let me say, I have heard so many people say, well, I've been such a good person. I've done this and this and this. I have perfect church attendance, but I don't understand because I didn't get better, or I'm not married, or I'm struggling. And, you know, this is the thing. We don't worship for what we can get. We worship so how we can honor God. And it's just so important. It pleases God when we choose to praise and worship him with all our heart, soul, and mind. And as we conclude this, Psalm 95:6, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. That is what pleases God. Not that we're all religious, but just that we live in the joy and the praise and the wonder of goodness of God. That is what God is asking us, to love all who God brings on our journey path.
I'm so glad you said that we don't worship for what we can get or what we think we should have, or I think we can get so hung up, Nancy, so easily, even as Christians. You know, it's what you just said, but I'm a good person and I do this and I've done that, and why are things not going better over here in my life, and why don't I have this? You know what? All we have is the moment that we've been given with God in the ultimate and only relationship that is ever going to truly fulfill everything in us that we desire. All the other stuff doesn't matter. One day you'll stand before him. How is it going to even matter then? It's not going to matter then, no matter how badly you think you want it here and now. What matters is that you worship him and honor him, and you are present in this moment with him and being about the work that he's given you to do. And worship is what draws us even more deeply into that relationship. This has been good this morning.
Yeah.
Well, I just think it's not easy, but it's like cleaning a closet almost, you know. You go in and you throw out those things in your life that are distracting you, I'm sorry, including people. And not that you throw them out and discard them, but you take them off your list of those people that you worship in those things. And get real. I mean, the happiest we are when God is absolutely taking over our lives for that day. Yeah. It allows us to live in spite of really bad, nasty circumstances.
And we need that. We need that every single day because, you know, the world around us is not going to change. We wait for him to return and deliver us out of that. But this has been excellent, Nancy. Thank you so much for spending time with us. I want to encourage you, if you would like to know more about Anchors Away Worldview Ministries, to go to anchorsaway.org or go to kellyandsteve.org under the Resources tab. Find out the information there. There's a free book opportunity that you can find on the website. You can also set up for the self-paced courses, as well as find boot camp information. Everything is right there at your fingertips. And I also want to encourage you, while you're there, look for the Unanswered series as well. Excellent group study. Right. You're all getting back together after dispersing for your summer. Life groups coming back together. If you're looking for a really, really great study, get your hands on Unanswered.
There you go.
What do you say to that, Nancy?
I'm saying, yay, absolutely.
Amen to that. Well, thank you so much for spending time with us, Nancy. We love you, and we appreciate you joining us and getting up early to do this.
Well, I love it. Thank you so much.
All right. We'll catch up with you later.
You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, from the Word to Life.